Welcome to the Central Media Office of Hizb al-Tahrir's English podcast. Press release. America's War on Islam. The American administration and the decision makers within it do not cease showing their hostility toward Islam and revealing their continuous and varied war against it. On every occasion and without occasion, you hear an American official raising his voice attacking Islam, describing it with descriptions that reveal the extent of their hatred toward it and indicate the size of the terror that fills their hearts from it. And it is known that after the collapse of the Soviet Union, at the beginning of the last decade of the past century, America took Islam as its ideological enemy and mobilized for fighting it with armies of soldiers, agents, money, agreements, and treaties, not the last of which were the Abraham Accords, nor the first of which was labeling Islam as revolutionary, radical, and terrorist. In recent days, the American Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, appeared with Sean Hannity on the Sean Hannity Show on Fox News, describing, quote, radical Islam has shown that their desire is not simply to occupy one part of the world and be happy with their own little caliphate. They want to expand. It's revolutionary in its nature. It seeks to expand and control more territories and more people. And Rubio ignored that what he accused Islam of is exactly what America does, except with a great difference. America seeks to control over the world to plunder its resources and wealth. And for that purpose, it kills millions of human beings, burns the green and the dry, and leaves behind destruction and death. And the wars in Somalia, Iraq, and Afghanistan are not far from us. As for Islam, it brought people out from darkness to light, from misery to happiness, and from servitude to humans and their laws to servitude to Allah alone. And before him, his own president sought to impose the Abraham Accords on Muslim lands to dilute Islam and make it merely priestly rituals like other religions, and to remove the political aspect of Islam from minds. He also affirmed America's policy toward Islam and Muslims in what he called the National Security Strategy 2025, saying, quote, we want to prevent an adversarial power from dominating the Middle East, its oil and gas supplies, and the choke points through which they pass. And he said, elsewhere, America will always have core interests in ensuring that Gulf energy supplies do not fall into the hands of an outright enemy, that the Strait of Hormuz remain open, that the Red Sea remain navigable, that the region not be an incubator or an exporter of terror against American interests or the American homeland, and that, quote, Israel remains secure. We can and must address this threat ideologically and militarily, 28 without decades of fruitless nation-building wars. We also have a clear interest in expanding the Abraham Accords to more nations in the region and to other countries in the Muslim world, end quote. He also said the Middle East partners are demonstrating their commitment to combating radicalism, a trend line American policy should continue to encourage. And he said, and we must remain wary of resurgent Islamist terrorists' activity in parts of Africa. And you see him in all his speech about Islam and his classification of Muslims using the terminology invented by his predecessors among America's presidents. For they divided Muslims into moderates and radicals, and they described them and Islam as terrorism, taking that as a pretext to fight it. The intellectual strength in Islam, the vastness of the Muslim lands, and the fear of the return of the Khilafah, caliphate, to Muslim lands constitute a source of terror for kufr, disbelief, and its states, especially the superpower states that see in Islam a danger that threatens their interests and even threatens their existence. Thus, they never cease expressing this concern from time to time, despite what they possess of material power and despite the presence of the agent rulers loyal to them in Muslim lands. But we give them glad tidings that what they fear is coming inevitably, despite them, despite their plans, their power, and their agents, for the Khilafah state is returning soon by Allah's permission, filling the universe with justice just as they filled it with oppression and enslavement. For the Islamic Ummah is a living Ummah that never dies, even if it becomes heedless for a period of time. It will return to carry the message of Islam, the message of light, guidance, and justice to all people by Allah's permission. and within the Islamic Ummah is Hizb al-Tahrir, the truthful guide that does not lie to its people, carrying the project of its correct revival through establishing the second Khilafah Rashida, rightly guided caliphate, on the method of the prophethood. And tomorrow is very near for the one who waits. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. They want to extinguish Allah's light with their mouths, but Allah will perfect His light, even though the disbelievers may hate it. He it is who has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to make it prevail over all religion, even though the polytheists may hate it. At-Tawbah 32-33. The Central Media Office of Hizb al-Tahrir.